Hello, and welcome to Beltway Banthas, Star Wars podcast live from the hive of scum and villainy in our very own galaxy, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Stephen Kent, and we're doing a new kind of thing today, a little bit of a slapdash episode to respond to some breaking and controversial and big Star Wars news. Gina Carano, the actress behind Cara Dune of The Mandalorian, has been fired. This has been an ongoing saga, one controversy after another, some merited, some not, and it is over. The folks at Lucasfilm released a statement saying Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm and there are no plans for her to be here in the future. Nevertheless, her social media posts denigrating people based on their cultural and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable. I'm going to talk today to Robbie Suave, a returning Bantha, a big fan of Star Wars. He knows a lot. And he knows a lot about other things, too, such as the debate over cancel culture. So we'll cut right to that in a little introduction to Robbie and get into the firing of Gina Carano. I want to show my hand a little bit on the front end of this episode. I am not upset about this development. I think it is sad. It is something that I just wish none of this had to happen. But I do not have a particularly strong feeling that Gina Carano was wronged in this instance, and I'm going to talk with Robbie about why, and you can follow where you may on the argument yourself, and, you know, no hard feelings. I mean, you're not a bad person for having a different opinion about this, and you can let me know what you think about this by shooting me an email at beltwaybanthas@gmail.com. Crude, rude, and nasty attack emails will not be read, so don't waste your time. But do feel free to let me know what you think about the firing of Gina Carano and whether or not there was a case for it. You can send that to beltwaybanthas@gmail.com. Let's get over to this conversation with Robbie. I've got now on the line Robbie Suave, senior editor at Reason, and author of Panic Attack, Young Radicals in the Age of Trump. He's also a returning Bantha. You can find him on our episode from last year about the Phantom Menace. It's an awesome one. Robbie, I'm really excited to have you on for this, and I don't want to diminish the breadth of your work you do, but you're kind of like the cancel culture guy for Reason, Fox News, and you're a good one. You do a good job at covering this beat. You understand the importance of freedom of association and also values like pluralism, that we can't just close off all of polite society to people with stupid opinions in the name of free markets and association. I want to get your gut level reaction on the story with Gina Carano finally being fired. And maybe just ask as a way to start this conversation, was this cancel culture or was this something else?
Thanks for having me. So I think this is cancel culture. And, you know, I'm not one to stretch that term beyond any reasonable definition as some people do. You know, I've heard it deployed everything from, I mean, you've had Republican politicians saying that, right, the impeachment trial is attempted cancel culture against Donald Trump. Or Marjorie Taylor Greene, the QAnon congresswoman. I obviously don't think efforts to hold politicians accountable for the political opinions they hold, I don't think that's cancel culture. I do think what happened to Gina, I think it is cancel culture. She's not a political figure. I mean, part of the story here is just is having fair standards. She's a celebrity. And generally, we tolerate, and Hollywood tolerates, film, television studios tolerate a high degree of quirky, wacky, dumb political opinions on the part of celebrities. God knows there's plenty of that on the left. So to handle this in this way, I think it is wrong. I think it's a double standard, and I think it counts as cancel culture, frankly.
And you rightly point out, and we're gonna kind of go through a couple different layers of this. You rightly point out in your synopsis of this today that if the final offense here, like the real thing that she was fired for, was this latest tweet of hers, which, you know, honestly, the Gina Carano saga has sort of ended where it began, which was with really bad World War II and Nazi analogies. She wrote on Instagram the following: Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? Well, many things, a lot of things. But this is casting herself and people like her who, to be clear, are kind of like more QAnon style thinkers of Republicans. And she is not that different if you just are talking about like a bad analogy from her co-star Pedro Pascal, who has numerous times analogized, you know, Donald Trump's policies to that of Nazi Germany, likening Auschwitz to the immigration camps on the border. You can say what you want about them from a human rights perspective. You could not say that they're equitable. You rightly point out the thing about Sean Penn and his affinity for Hugo Chavez and Benicio del Toro dedicating an award to murderous guys like Che Guevara. Like, this stuff is everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that you know it's the standard, right? It's why is what she says is unsayable. And right, I think this was a tortured analogy, clearly, because I don't know, demonization of Republicans that sort of the media does is not in any way, shape, or form as bad. I mean, in some cases, it's not even bad. In some cases, Republicans deserve to be demonized. There are cases where Democrats deserve to be demonized. Yelling at our political figures is fine. It's the point of democracy.
It's what we do.
So it is not the same as the way the Nazis treated Jewish people in Germany at all. But so I think it was a tortured analogy. I think it was a dumb comment. Disney, in its statement, saying that they have no plans to use her anymore in any of their properties, says that it is abhorrent what she said. And it is an example of she was denigrating an ethnic and cultural minority. But of course she wasn't. Again, it was a bad analogy, but the point of it was not, it was not denigrating Jewish people or any other ethnic and cultural minority.
She didn't
minority.
Say that Jews have space lasers that started the fires out west.
Right.
It wasn't right. An attack on Jews in any way. It was just a really bad analogy that cast her as a victim on the level of Auschwitz victims. Like, it's just kind of absurd and stupid.
Right. And it's wrong to characterize it falsely that way, because that's an unfair smear. It would obviously be a much more serious example. You would maybe think through whether she should not work for Disney if, you know, she was an appalling racist, if she had deeply held anti-Semitic views that she was interpreting. Probably that would be something they would rightly discipline.
I think what I want to point, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. What I wanted to put a finger on here is sort of when I said earlier, like, this sort of has ended where it began. Is this all started in like early 2020? I think it was August when Carano's first big kerfluffle that she sort of kicked up was tweeting about Nazi Germany. She tweeted a popular photo of August Landmesser. He's known as the German in a crowd of Nazis, all Sieg Heiling, and he was not saluting. He has his arms crossed. It's used as a meme sometimes. It's also used to make a point about conformity. And she was doing this around the time of the Black Lives Matter protests sort of reaching a pretty loud fever pitch. And I think she was saying to the world and to fans and to people online, like, I'm not going to go along with stuff just because majorities do. I will cross my arms and I will, you know, I will decide for myself what movements I want to be part of. Because this was about, like, you know, like, people like putting like hashtag Black Lives Matter in their info sections, like basically like having to make that statement and be part of the thing, or they were assumed to be against it. And that's been my operating view of Gina Carano, which is that it's not clear what she believes. She is just like really reactionary against being told she has to do a certain thing in order to be accepted. right? Like,
yeah,
that's to me has been like her baseline for sort of aggravating people, is just refusing to do the gestures that most liberal Hollywood types and fans will do.
Yeah, and there's a whole strain of that, obviously. It's a very important strain in conservatism currently, in like Trumpian conservatism, of just kind of wanting to go against what you perceive to be the societal elite technocratic consensus, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's like masks or other, I mean, you could, they're probably even, I think to a lesser extent, it's less prevalent, but it certainly exists with vaccines. And it often comes off as unnecessarily provocative and annoying. However, you know, there is some contrarianism is sometimes warranted on some of these subjects. There is room for quibbling. I mean, I support the slogan and the idea of Black Lives Matter, but I'm sure if I talked to, I wrote a whole book about what activists think. When I talk to activists affiliated with the cause, it turns out they believe lots and lots and lots and lots of things that I think are wrong, even nutty in some cases about like Marxism and capitalism, those kinds of things. So I don't think it's, I don't want to just sort of widely mock the idea that it's wrong to hold sort of provocative opinions or to go against the grain. But I think what you said, which is correct, is that a lot of people in the Gina Carano mold do it in a kind of unnecessarily insulting and provocative way, where they're not actually sort of informing you about where their dissent is, but just like, no, we have to object because the elites are saying it, so they must be wrong. Well, the elites are sometimes wrong, but sometimes they're right, and you need to be able to, like, you know, make your choices based on the actual issue, not on some just contempt for what people.
Yeah,
think.
And I think the contempt part of it is what gets us to the real high point of pressure around hashtag fire Gina Carano. I this is the part that I'm really surprised that she survived, and I want you to kind of comment on this based on your study of activist movements on campus. You know, her transgression against the trans community and gender non-binary community, with going onto Twitter and changing her info byline to say beep/bop/boop, or it might have been boop bop. Obviously, what she was doing here was she was you know, elbowing the gender pronouns thing. And I don't know if she did it because people were saying that she needed to do it as a show of solidarity to her co-stars or to the fans, or if she was just doing it completely out of the blue. But then she really dug in her heels on this stuff. And I'm honestly surprised that she survived it, because it was, I think that was a pretty like vicious part of the campaign to get her fired. And she has just kind of gotten worse and worse and worse in terms of her online conduct, as pressure against her has gotten more intense. And I do think that people are like out for her, and probably unfairly. Like, you are allowed to dissent on gender pronouns. You are allowed to dissent on trans issues and work in Hollywood. But what is your take on like why that was the most transgressive
thing?
I
could be wrong about this. I thought she apologized for the pronoun thing, actually, or didn't she make some reference to Pedro Pascal having, because I believe, right, he has a trans sister who has recently, I think she said she had been educated about it, which is really the ideal outcome, right? If you think somebody's wrong about something, you don't just want to like punish them. Maybe you do, but I think that's the wrong impulse.
Yeah, so
to just
actually,
the order of events there is
off. She actually talked publicly about Pedro Pascal's now sister, and then did the pronouns thing on her profile after those comments, which was weird. It was weird.
Yeah, so that speaks to her just wanting to be a contrarian, I guess. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It just seemed like she couldn't ever get the activists to be happy, so she just sort of dug in on being her worst self.
Well, you shouldn't take, you know, no one should take their political opinion cues from this person, as they generally shouldn't from actors and actresses, barring some, probably there are some who are uncommonly well-informed and intelligent, but we expect them to to be like thought leaders is just kind of a wrong impulse anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it exactly that the beep, bop, boop thing, like that was really the most intense part of the push to get Gina Carano fired? And are you surprised that it didn't result in her firing? Because I really am. And I'm not saying that because I wanted her to get fired over that. I actually don't think what she did was a fireable offense in that case. I just think it was really stinking unfortunate and not in keeping with, the spirit of pluralism and respect for your fellow man.
Did they decide not to have her have a show anymore because of that, but then they just didn't say anything about it until this, or was that for the other post that she did?
That to my knowledge is shrouded in mystery. They yeah. still announced they were going to do this Rangers of the New Republic show, and she is the Ranger. Right. They gave her the badge in the season 2 episode of The Mandalorian.
Right.
So it kind of seemed like she was going to be part of this. But we also don't know when her contract was not renewed. We don't know if it was ended in the past 48 hours over this last, final offense from her, or if they didn't renew it months ago and we're now just finding out. That's a big question.
Or for some other reason, right? There's always the case. This is the thorny issue with discussing cancel culture, hiring and firing decisions when people are let go for ostensibly for bad tweets or bad social media posts. Which again happens all the time. I've written about several of them involving recently New York Times people and think tank professionals and et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's always more complicated than just the social media post, right? There can be simmering behind the scenes tensions where it's just the social media post is the excuse. I'm not saying that is the case here, but that is the case sometimes in cancel culture incidents. Also, I'm a libertarian. I think private companies can hire and fire whoever they want. Doesn't have to be fair. It doesn't have to be nice. It doesn't have to be non-hypocritical. It's their company. If they don't want her involved with it anymore, that's their right, and I will defend that. I can still criticize it based on the facts we have. And I think going back to the pronouns thing, yeah, Disney might want to keep in mind that there's probably millions of people in this country who are less progressive on transgender issues, on mandatory pronoun usage, than the most woke people on Twitter, right, or wherever the complaints are coming in. That represents a influential cross section of America because it's a very loud section. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm a mostly kind of socially liberal or at least socially moderate person, but there are a lot of people who don't think that way, and these companies should be a little more careful, I guess, about just alienating vast sections of America who are not totally up to date on what the dictates and requirements of the most progressive gender person
is. I think that's why the reason I wanted to talk to you today is just because I have found myself on the wrong side of libertarians online because I just look at this firing and I go, this was going to happen at some point. You can only push things so far with any certain employer. And honestly, this might just be the right move at this point for the Mandalorian to go forward without constant churning drama. I don't see a reason why she needs to be employed if she is like just committed to making her PR department and the production team constantly have to cover for her. And that goes to like the behind the scenes stuff is in my imagination. We're all going off imagination here. I sort of view like the production team being like, and especially Jon Favreau being like, we're going to stick up for this person. It's okay for conservatives to be in Hollywood and we're going to do our best here. And they covered for her for a year. Again, I thought she wasn't going to survive the gender pronouns thing, but then she survived the next thing, which was the Parler scandal, and then the COVID-19 criticism, and calling it a conspiracy. Like, they stuck with her. But at a certain point, people aren't going to stick with you anymore if it seems like you don't care about them sticking their neck out for
you. But doesn't Mark Hamill tweet like 8,000 provocative political things every 5 seconds?
He is divisive.
Yeah.
He's divisive. He does things in the same annoying style that Gina Carano does, which is that he does it with this wink, 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 nod, nod, being like, I'm being a nice guy, but I'm actually being a total dick. And that's like how Gina Carano tweets is. She's like, I'm a happy warrior, and I'm saying these just like weird, bizarre, conspiratorial things, and I'm so cute doing it. And I feel like Mark Hamill is kind of the same. In just making like anything that a Republican does, any breath a Republican takes, is murder to somebody.
Right.
Is well, the way that, that, but I that often
and they're not going to, they're not going to, they would never, you know, take action against him. And not because he's, it's just because he's so famous and important that they would never do anything to him. Obviously Carano's character isn't so indispensable to Star Wars, but it seems ideological. It seems if there was an equivalent person at her level, I mean, again, like you said, Pedro Pascal had shared something not yes. provocative in the same way as what she had done. It just feels like this feels like a real double standard to me. It actually does.
But should,
and I don't know why they care at all. Why do they care? What if they don't care? If should they care if their stars are saying nutty political things? Like why? And some people want them fired, and there's like a brief social media furor about it. Every couple weeks, who cares? Does it actually matter? Like, not everyone is paying attention to it, right? The vast majority of people watching Star Wars, watching The Mandalorian, have no idea, like no idea whatsoever that Gina Carano is occasionally in a divisive person on social media. They probably don't even know that Mark Hamill is that way. So it's like, why pay attention or care what the social media mob thinks at all?
In terms of how I sort of think about the tribalism at play here, my feeling about this is that it's all driven by scorekeeping. And this goes to the question of fairness that like activists on both sides, you have like this sort of, you know, right-wing YouTube contingent and then left-wing social justice types on Twitter. And they're just collecting scalps and they're keeping score. And it's part of what makes me less interested in playing along. Like I don't feel a need to defend Gina Carano and her like her right to be in Star Wars if everyone is aggravated by working with her on the production. Like, I don't feel a need to defend her, but I get it. Like, I get it's a double standard. I guess I've stopped caring, and that's why people are just like calling me nasty names. Like, stop being such a cuck because you don't care. Like, have I admitted defeat?
Right, and those people suck. Like, yeah, those people are terrible. And I get what you're saying.
No, I don't care.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. But like what? So what if Disney were to take a close look at the comedy of Bill Burr, another character on The Mandalorian, that the actor's name, who's a comedian of a very kind of George Carlin or Louis C.K. I think his comedy is great, hilarious, very like deliberately politically incorrect. Not where it's necessarily that the politically incorrect thing he's saying reflects his own views. So I think there's like some nuance to it because it's not that, you know, that he's this right wing conservative necessarily, but he certainly talks about these things or gives voice to them in a way that would and that has with other similar comedian people like Chappelle that has infuriated people on the left, that has led to calls for XYZ punishment. I hope Disney doesn't know this.
You know, they watched all of it and they made a judgment call, probably like he's a comedian.
You think
so? We're going to give him a pass. I would think so.
I don't think they have, well, maybe they have, but they don't care. But if people started loudly complaining, if a group of people got together on Twitter and it became a hashtag and then there became a couple, you know, news articles and terrible publications about, oh, what about Bill Burr, et cetera, you know, there's a chance they would do something because every time this happens, it lowers the bar for it to happen next time. And I think that actually would be a terrible shame, much more of a shame than this. But it would be that this had paved the way for that. So to that extent, I have concerns.
I think there's a couple different factors at play there just in terms of the different types of characters we're talking about. Like Gina Carano, her entire thing in accordance with, you know, going back to the August Landmaster thing is like she is just going to cross her arms and she's not going to go along. She's continued to kind of thump her chest about like, I will never apologize for anything. And she's not going to, and that's fine. I I firmly believe that, like, you shouldn't apologize to people who aren't looking for an apology. They're just looking to cast you out into the no man's land. But like Bill Burr, like if he tested the waters on Twitter with like a bad joke and it just kind of like blew up in his face, he'd say sorry. Like he would be like, you know, it was a bad one. Sorry. Moving on. And I feel like it wouldn't stick. I don't feel like you could make something stick to Bill Burr. But Gina Carano's entire operating position is, this is who I am, and you need to deal with it or else.
I think it wouldn't matter if he were sorry, and has not mattered if people were sorry in the past. I'm not saying this is likely to happen, and he is certainly a savvier person. Like he's not a crazy person, so it's like there's not so much danger, maybe, but it could happen, especially if we're just looking outside of the narrow focus of the person's work. I mean, you're saying she's difficult to work with, she's putting strains on the PR department, etc. I get all that. So I totally see it that way as well, but it just it does rub me the wrong. And the other aspect of this that we haven't touched on yet is Disney cares suddenly about the denigration of ethnic and cultural minorities. Is there an ethnic and cultural minority that is being denigrated in proximity to work Disney is doing that it has overlooked, not only overlooked but has thanked the oppressors of these people in the credits of its movies? I refer, of course, to the Chinese Communist Party and the Uyghur Muslims.
Yeah, and where they filmed The Last Jedi, Bolivia, where they filmed the scenes on Crate. Horrific LGBTQ laws there. And they just sort of know that the people who stir up this kind of crap online and kind of go after anybody with wrong think that they're not going to hold Disney accountable for those things as well. But then again, and to the credit of, not to the credit, that's not the way I actually feel about it, but like the far left types who kind of come for Gina Carano like every week when they're bored, they hate Lucasfilm. And they hate Disney. They never say, they don't have anything nice to say about them. They think that they're like a white supremacist organization that only does the right thing when they have no other options left. That's how they always talk about them. So like, I don't even know if it's the right way to think about it, that they don't hold them accountable, because they don't like Disney or hold Disney accountable for anything, because they don't think of Disney as a moral company in the first place.
Well, and conservatives are always saying that, I've seen people saying they're going to boycott Disney because of this. And I'm like, weren't you already boycotting Disney for like 18 other things? Aren't you? You're just in a perpetual state of boycotting. But again, that reinforces the perspective that it's just a couple very online people who get so worked up about this. These are difficult decisions. It's difficult to, like, I don't know exactly, like, I don't think, If we stop doing business, we being major companies, the U.S. government, et cetera, like, I don't really believe sanctions work. I'm not convinced that disengaging from countries that have horrible human rights abuses helps to necessarily improve the situation in the country. But this is a real Google is a good example of this, right? Google has to decide, are we okay making a version of Google for China that censors all criticism of the Chinese Communist Party? And I think it's an actually hard decision to make, because the ideal is China gets the version of Google that we have, but that's not possible. The government is not going to allow it. So is it better to stand on our principles and say, no, we will absolutely not kowtow to this Chinese communist government? So no Google, if that has to be on those terms. But then that means the people don't get Google at all. And does that really help their human rights situation? Like, some of these are legitimately difficult questions.
And it's why I think I'm tired with scorekeeping, and I've always just been a personal accountability and individual responsibility kind of guy. But, our friends on the right, in my opinion, they only care and make noise about China's human rights abuses against the Uyghurs in relation to the Mulan production
because they want to even the score. They want to bring Disney down from its high point or its pedestal to judge people like Gina Carano or judge them so that they can always have something in their pocket. I don't think that they do this out of the goodness of their hearts. They do it to even the score. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I often hear, so when I'll see a conservative do a sort of attempted cancellation of someone on the left, I'll say, why are you doing this? Aren't you against cancel culture? And they go, oh, we're just, well, this is the left's rules. So we just want, you know, we're just enforcing the left's rules. They came up with these rules. So these rules have to be for everyone if these are going to be the rules. And I'm like, well, if you're enforcing these rules too, they're not the left's rules. They're your rules now. I don't want, it's not that I want people necessarily like all held to this standard. I actually just don't like this standard at all. I think we're becoming unnecessarily cruel and merciless and vengeful and it's bad. And so, yeah, I think that kind of thing is often reflects exactly what you just said, a kind of useless scorekeeping.
What is the limit of thinking about things like freedom of association and representing your employer with your actions online? Because I think you and I both came up in the world in the early and mid 2000s, where like there were social media codes of conduct when you worked at places, and they were kind of rigid. And if you were just being like a weirdo and a creep online and politically a psycho, like your employers kind of noticed. But at some point, it sort of became a wild, wild west where big companies weren't holding their people accountable, and it's trickled down so that like basically there are no rules anymore. And if you are actually then fired for something that really embarrasses and angers your employer over and over and over again, we kind of like cry cancel culture every single time. But I personally, like, I like the world where there were expectations and rules. But I think, as you've laid out, like, we don't have a world where that's universal. So how are we supposed to think about this as libertarians? Like, the idea that if Disney does not want to be part of this romance or this dance with Gina Carano anymore, that they don't have to do it. Like, it's clear to me she's not going to stop. She's going to be doing these Nazi Germany tweets forever, and they're always going to have to cover for it and release statements about it. So at what point do they just go, you know what, we can find someone else for this role and the show will go on?
Yeah. And that's ultimately why, even though the cancellation of celebrities generates the most interest and thus the most articles when we're talking cancel culture, they're not really the most sympathetic situations, because, I mean, I'm sure she'll find work. She brought it on herself a little bit. It's probably fair to hold her to a higher standard than just a random, you know, the janitor at a restaurant or whatever. And if that guy has a problematic social media post and he gets fired, you know what? I feel pretty bad for the person. I don't know that. Uh-huh. I don't know that we need every employee of every company, no matter how insignificant, to have like perfect social media views. Like, that doesn't reflect the majority of Americans. Most Americans believe something wrong or dumb or frankly insulting because people's political opinions tend to be quite bad, like across the board. Social media helps us learn the horrible things people have always thought all along. People haven't gotten dumber. They haven't gotten worse. We just now have this medium where you can hear what people are actually thinking all the time. And it was always pretty bad. It's just now that we can actually hear it. And on that point, that's the other thing, is that, you know, you and I were lucky to grow up and to, right before smartphones and social media becomes just everywhere for kids. Like, kids today go through their entire teenage years with a large part of what they're saying and sharing is being recorded, sometimes on video, and is being shared on various social media sites, and it is out there and it exists and it is saved and it can be summoned back to get them in trouble years or even decades later, at some inopportune moment. And that is the aspect of cancel culture that I think is most alarming.
You wrote about an instance of two high schoolers keeping receipts on each other, and then vengefully one trying to keep the other one out of college.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I think we need to have, if not forgiveness for Gina Carano's of the world, at least forgiveness for things people said in high school that was stupid. I mean, this is a bar that no one could clear. If a camera had followed me my entire high school years, I guarantee there would be things I said that embarrassed me. I guarantee it's true of you. I guarantee it's true of everyone. Maybe not you. You're just insanely polite. But almost every person, certainly all of the cancelers, you know, we would not, because people make mistakes, especially kids, especially teenagers. You know, they do stupid things. They don't all, you know, plan an assault on the Jedi Temple, right? They don't all fall in with the dark side, but they do stupid things they regret, and there should be some forgiveness for it.
Yeah, and I'm working on my book, and I'm trying to break ground on the chapter on redemption. I sat down this morning to try to start writing it, and I basically just spent all morning trying to figure out this Gina Carano story and like what I really think about it instead, which was not a great use of my time. But it might work for the chapter.
Well, you pulled it out, right? That Kylo Ren's arc is a redemption arc. It is.
And that's the thing that I care about in Star Wars as like a lesson. Yeah. Redemption is the only thing that I care about as a top level value of Star Wars. But like, this isn't really that. This is more of like the pluralism question, which is this person does not have any remorse about anything she says, and it's going to continue tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So how long do her and her employer, you know, stay in bed together? And, you know, I guess I just don't feel it. I don't feel that they need to be in business together if this is the way that it's going to be. But it's, you're right.
I mean, difficult people put employers in difficult positions. So you should strive not to be a difficult person, right? But creative types tend to be difficult. Actors and actresses are difficult, right? I mean, that's part of the field.
But how fringe of views should we feel a need to defend in mainstream institutions and roles like the one Gina Carano landed? Because the whole foundation of the civil libertarian mindset, you know, the old ACLU, is that if the worst viewpoints are criminalized and not allowed to be out there, then the Overton window shifts and you'll be next. Like everybody, they'll be coming after you next. First, it will be Gina Carano for, you know, her conspiracy theories, belief that the election was rigged. And then it's going to be, you know, you, Robbie Suave, because I don't know, you wrote a book where you actually like went out and reported on activist movements. Like it's just always going to be evolving. And eventually, you know, it's going to come for people like me too. You know, they tried to cancel Mitt Romney over putting a dog on top of his car. Like,
yeah. Well, and there's some that's legitimate to be concerned about with that. She was partly, I think, in trouble for some comments she made about masking that I think were wrong. But you know what? There's been a lot of wrong things said about the COVID-19 pandemic, including by like government officials and health authorities, even like the smart liberal ones we're supposed to trust. The guidance has changed many times. I still see policymakers say, you know, stupid things about how, well, we can't open schools because it's not safe, even though the CDC has said it's safe. And we had numerous schools that are open that have done so safely without spreading, et cetera. You'll hear about, oh, well, we don't know if you can get reinfected. Well, we don't like utterly know for absolute certain, but it looks like it's not very, I mean, anything can happen, right? But it doesn't actually look like it's all that common. Looks like the post-infection immunity is pretty long-lasting. Looks like, to me, the vaccines are probably going to reduce transmission substantially. We don't know it for absolute certain, but a lot of people are saying, well, we can't, you know, resume. Even like smart, well-informed, supposedly well-informed people will say things like, we can't, you know, ever resume society because we don't actually know if it's going to prevent transmission. So there's a lot of kind of bad information uttered by everyone on every subject. I think this goes back to what I was saying earlier. And if we start holding people, you know, not that people shouldn't be held accountable. I think if you're in the political realm, I think it's right to hold you accountable for your ideas. If your job is to be right about ideas, if your job is to have the right ideas, but not everyone's job is. My job as a journalist and a thinker is to have good ideas. So if I got something really wrong in an article, I might get fired and it wouldn't really be, I don't think it would be, I wouldn't be a victim of cancel culture, but not, I don't think everyone should be held to that same standard. I really don't.
I've said on this already, like if Gina Carano were working full time still as an MMA fighter and her job was to fight and win and go home. And she were fired or like, you know, ousted from the league or whatever, you know, dropped by her league for the thing she tweeted just the other day. I'd be a little bit like, I don't know. And everything she's done this year, I'd be like, is it the job of an MMA fighter to like have great political opinions? Is this the job of an MMA fighter to be politically sophisticated? Can an MMA fighter believe in QAnon? That would strike me as like more imminent and important cancel culture discussion. I guess it's just I'm hung up on this whole thing about it being Disney and it being freaking Mickey Mouse and them being a little more institutionally left anyways. And they, you know, we just kind of, we know who they are. And so it just doesn't surprise me that their patience ran out for this and it was self-inflicted. And I guess I'll give you the last word and we'll wrap it up.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I think they could have been a lot worse, though. I see a lot worse comments from people in general. I'm not sure that hers are the absolute most insane I've ever seen. So it's I like the character at the end of the day. Not my absolute favorite character in The Mandalorian, but I'll miss her. I will miss her. And also, I just don't like random recastings or random people being dropped. I think it's always unfortunate when that's forced on filmmakers because of, or when someone dies or for some other reason. Uh-huh. I think it's always unfortunate. So I don't really like to see it happen just for continuity's sake.
I don't like to see it happen either. It's a tragedy for the continuity. It's a tragedy for the series. She's a great character. Both my wife, my daughter love Cara Dune. She's great. And I guess just my closing thought, and we'll wind down, is, the whole thing that has happened here that just wears me out as this, you know, politically homeless type person, is that I feel like we're locked into this whole choose your fighter thing. And some of the best content on Twitter, kind of mocking this whole Gina Carano situation, is before and after for right-wing YouTubers talking about Gina Carano in 2019 when her character was first debuted. There are numerous channels with hundreds of thousands of subscribers who were lambasting this character's rollout when she took down the Mandalorian in hand-to-hand combat, and they were bemoaning this new SJW character and this SJW inclusion into Star Wars, and that this was going to be overpowered Rey all over again. And it was just about having some big female come in and kick Mandalorian's ass, and it made them unhappy. And to me, you can then fast forward a year later, the same YouTubers are saying, you can't cancel all of us. She's one of us. She belongs to the fans. They just want somebody who represents their political viewpoints, and they want them to be part of the saga. They don't care about the show. They just care about politics. And I'm just really tired of the caring about the politics part. So
I'm just waiting for Grogu is going to tweet like all lives matter, and that'll be it. That'll be it for Grogu.
Robbie Suave, Reason Magazine, thank you so much for coming on and chatting over this with me. I appreciate the gut check and the challenge. Yeah.
My pleasure.
You can find Robbie on Twitter at Robbie Suave and send him your hate tweets or preferably your friendly tweets. That would be nice, and give him a follow. He's a great guy, does a lot of good reporting and controversial reporting, stuff that you should follow because, you know, this debate is not going anywhere, and he does good work. So at Robbie Suave, and you can follow me at Steven_Kent89 and subscribe to the Beltway Banthas themed newsletter, politicizeme.substack.com, your one-stop shop for all sorts of analyses of pop culture, politics, and thoughts on the meaning of Star Wars. It's also where you can keep up with my book, How the Force Can Fix the World, which, boy howdy, is coming along. You know, I think we're actually going to meet that Christmas 2021 launch date, and I can't wait for you to read it. This has been Beltway Banthas. We'll be back soon with more. Actually, we have an episode coming up on the economics of Star Wars, and it is a wild and informative ride that you will very much enjoy. It'll be in your feed here in the next week or two. So until then, may the Force be with you, always.